How to recharge has been an active question of mine for probably 3 years. It's been an interesting journey, and it's certainly led to a lot of the differences you guys see in me now. How does the masculine recharge? How do I feel fulfilled while achieving?
Finally, after 5 years of product failures, my 35th offer actually worked. And my next 55 products generated over $11 million in sales in just 4 years. But after seeing the flaws in my baby business, I decided to shut it all down and restart from scratch, as entrepreneurs do. Follow me and the other capitalist pig-loving entrepreneurs as I continue my journey to $100 million in sales. I'm your host, Steve J. Larson, and welcome to Season 2 of Sales Funnel Radio.
What's up, everyone? It's Steve Larson. Welcome to Sales Funnel Radio. You know, I've been actually looking forward to today for quite a while. It's like my first real free day in a while. And, I need it every once in a while, just for clarity's sake, because this is a common misnomer, and I know where it comes from, but I do not work 24/7, okay? First off, that's like so insanely unhealthy. The entire notion of hustle till you die kind of thing will send you most likely to an early grave. Hustle, hustle, hustle is necessary in bursts, in small phases, you know, and they're best done planned. You know, that's when you really have control over it. But to 24/7 do it, first off, you're kidding yourself. I really thought I was the Energizer Bunny for a long time. I thought I could just go, like never stop. And I am impressed with myself for how long I held that up. But eventually you break. I mean, I broke. And that's a little bit of what was going on also between season one of two of this show, by the way. There's a little bit of breakage that was going on, just mentally, emotionally. It's really hard to do that all the time. In fact, I find that most that can actually sustain a 24/7 work, and if not in like literal actuality working 24/7, then at least energetically and emotionally, they're always working. Can't ever stop. Can't ever put it down. It's usually some kind of trauma that's fueling it, you know, because it's unnatural levels of energy. So anyway, that was a bit of a side rant, but I totally believe that. And that's not to say that it's wrong. But there's also other energies and fuels to create with. And I know I've done other podcast episodes about that earlier in this season. So I've been looking forward to today because one of my greatest recharges, there's two huge ways that I recharge emotionally when I'm like, whew, like the next month, it's going to be a little bit lot, right? It's going to be a lot, but it's going to be fun. And what I have planned, what we've planned and you know, our company, Marley and I, like we effectively should literally no longer be in the business in like one more month. It's really cool. This is the first time I've like documented top to bottom every process, not just funnels. You know what I mean? When you funnel build and funnel plan, you're effectively building a sales process, or you're building a system. That's all it is. It's a leads and sales system, right? But do you ever build the systems that afterwards that a funnel requires to be healthy? You know, support, fulfillment. You know, customer success. Do you have a finance system? You know, how are you going to handle all the taxes and the business part of running a business? You know what I mean? All the HR laws, all that crap. You know, it's like, it's the first time that I really have gone that deep into it. And I know that one, the marketplace just likes it more. I have so few products to choose from. I know I don't cause like product schizophrenia like I used to. In fact, there's a few of you who have reached out and you're like, hey, it's cool. You got like, you know, two or three things you're doing. I'll just wait 6 months because you're going to have something else. And I'm like, no, I get it. I know why I was stuck in that. Anyway, so today I've been really, really pumped because I've been hauling. And I hit a point again a little while ago. I hope I can be just vulnerable about this. I got to tell you, one of the weirdest things about being open about this is like, oh man, and I know that most people experience this. If I tell people what's really going on inside my head, they might not buy from me. You know what I mean? They might leave me. What if I get canceled? First off, I do not give a crap about cancel culture. People are canceling me before it was cool. I don't care about it. Oh, man. That's a whole other... Don't give a... All right. So, yeah. I don't care about that at all. But anyway, all this to say, I've been really excited for today. You can't go 24/7, 365. You just can't. And to do that usually means that there's some underlying thing that is fueling it that is unnatural. And not to say that it's not a, effective source of fuel, but long-term just smashes you. You know, I was definitely, like I was saying, going through a little bit of burnout. And the best ways I know to recharge for me is I need a chunk of time. It doesn't have to be like days and days and days, but like a day, you know, where there is literally nothing on the calendar, absolutely nothing planned, zero expectations, nothing asked to be, nothing required of me, nothing I put on myself, nothing for a whole day, nothing. And that's not to say that I'm going to sit around and like watch movies 24/7. Like that rarely happens. That's not what I'm talking about. I might do like what I'm doing right now, which leads usually to the second way that I get to recharge. And for me, the recharge, one of the most effective forms of recharge, and I learned this from the book, The Way of the Superior Man. I love that book. The title makes it sound like it's basically called How to Be a Chauvinistic Punk. That's not what it's about. It's kind of a poor title, in my opinion. The book is very heavily about masculine energy and how it recharges, and feminine energy, how it recharges, and how they relate to each other in healthy ways. It's very, very powerful. Definitely improved how I show up in relationships, not just with Marley, but just in life. You know, how I own masculinity without what most people think is toxic masculinity, right? And that's not what it is at all. So in that book, one of the things it teaches is that the masculine recharges through austerity and challenge and doing something slightly tough, you know? So like in the winter, go just jump in an ice pond. You know what I'm saying? Like something that's not gonna kill you, but it's certainly like a little bit tough. You'll come out of that just like raw, screaming like an animal. Like I've done that before to recharge. I never in my life thought I was about to tell you guys what I'm about to tell you, but I have totally loaded up a bath full of ice. I did this last winter, got in it, totally submerged. And then what you do is you jump out of the water and just yell, total man, just like rend the sky with your voice, straight up veins throbbing in your throat kind of roar. And oh my gosh, you want to talk about a surge of testosterone that comes back to the masculine. Oh man. So when I am like really, really tired, the best thing I can do is sleep, take care of myself, nutrition, lots of water, vitamins, minerals, the whole nine yards, like taking care of myself, sauna. We just got a really cool infrared sauna, right? Like self-care for sure. But there's this whole other angle to it where, especially as the masculine, and what I've learned from this book and just my personal experience, that one of the coolest ways that the masculine recharges is something austere, you know, meaning a little bit dangerous, maybe not crazy. Don't do anything psycho, right? But something a little bit, wow, daring, right? And something a little tough and owning that primal instinct, you know, part of it. So that is a long way of saying I've been excited for today for all of those reasons. How to recharge has been an active question of mine for probably 3 years. It's been an interesting journey, and it's certainly led to a lot of the differences you guys see in me now. How does the masculine recharge? How do I feel fulfilled while achieving? Those are totally different questions, right? And I know this is Sales Funnel Radio, and I'm talking about something not really a funnel. This is the this is the fulfillment funnel, the personal fulfillment funnel. This is the, you know, and I really believe that we all have differing levels and needs of.
Hey, I hope you're enjoying the episode. Let me interrupt for just 1 minute here. One time I was speaking on the stage at this event, this guy picked up a microphone and he said, "Steve, when do Facebook ads begin paying off?" And I remember looking confused and just asking back, like, "What do you mean?" He repeated the question and said, "Well, we've been spending a lot of money on Facebook ads for a long time now, and we're just wondering when this begins to all pay off, when we actually start making money from the ad." I said, "Wait, Facebook ads are not an investment. They don't pay off someday. This is direct response marketing. So if we don't get a payoff within the first few days, we turn off the ads. How much money have you spent?" I will never forget the look at this guy's face as he realized he had the completely wrong mindset about ads. And he said, "We've spent over $250,000 without any return on ads at all." My stomach fell out of my body. Look, this is direct response marketing, meaning we measure the direct response of our marketing. That's why ads are the holy grail of marketing. They're not an investment that pays off someday, sorry colleges, because every dollar spent on ads should return with another dollar very soon. That's what my good friend John Parks and I are doing the Chief Ads Officer Workshop on May 15th through the 17th. Jonna spent over $150 million in Facebook ads profitably and managed the ads accounts for some of the biggest names out there. Jonna is going to take 50 business owners through his unique Facebook ads process while you follow along. At the end, you're going to have your own account running. I simply asked John to show us what's working best today in the ads world right now. John told me that one of the hardest parts of running ads today is finding the right person to do it. Traditional org charts don't really have a spot for the ad buyer, so this workshop will help you install a new role, whether in-house or if you go higher, the new role of chief ads officer inside your business. This workshop is both for those who want to learn ads themselves or for those who want to learn to communicate with their media buyer better. The workshop is only happening one time in person in my event studio in Boise, Idaho, May 15th through the 17th, and all the details are at chiefadsofficer.com. Go to chiefadsofficer.com right now to save your seat and get more details. We can't wait to see you there. Let's get back to the episode.
There are some people who just literally are machines, and and there's others of us who don't have that same desire, and it doesn't make it wrong or bad. This is about, all right, I'm going deep. Here we go. I went to go drive this really cool app that shows me cool trails around Boise. It's called All Trails. I love it. And so I just, I'll discover cool trails around. And sometimes I'll just choose one. And I don't know what I'm getting myself into. It'll be like 5 mile loop, 2000 foot climb. And I'm like, ain't nothing but a thing. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to die. Austerity challenge, total recharge. Feel like a total man coming back, right? So it works. All right, today I'm going to I'm super sweaty. I just got back from it. So I was going to this trail, all right, and I drive over to this trail, pump up my mountain bike and, dust it off for the season. I used to love working on bikes. I love to take them totally apart, build them, rebuild them again. I used to do that for other people, just for fun in my early 20s. And so I was going to this trail and I turned too early, and a lot of bike trails are in the mountains, obviously, and a lot of cemeteries are also on the sides of mountains. And I accidentally, without realizing it, pulled into a cemetery, and people were like behind me, and I was like, oh, like, I don't think anything was, happening. It's extremely reverent, respectful atmosphere, obviously. And I always do that, of course. And I was driving slowly through it, and I just couldn't help but chuckle a little bit. The reminder. How can you not think about death when you're driving through a cemetery accidentally and going to ride your bike? You know what I mean? Like, come on. And so this just happened. I was driving through the cemetery, on the way to the bike trail, and someone comes up behind me. And so, I'm just going slowly through it and thinking about death and risks and taking, going for it, whatever that means for you, whether that is, hey, work like a machine because I got a specific goal I'm trying to attain. Great. Or that's, I want to have more of my time and go have more adventure in my life and go experience things. Great. That's part of my point is like, no one's getting out alive. You know what I mean? Might as well try whatever you can. Might as well go for it. Do whatever you can. Do it. Don't do stupid risks, but there is totally a respectable amount of risk that's good. That's growth risk, right? Like learning to walk. Yeah, it's a risk. Doesn't mean you shouldn't take it. Learn to walk. And so it's interesting. It's just a cool, I tell you, I rode the bike and I ran, I did the trail very differently because I went through a cemetery right before. I just did. Put on different music, super present, like noticing things around me. I don't know if some of you guys are like listening to this and you're like, whoa, Steve, you're breaking some new ground there, Copernicus. But I'm just saying, it's not something our world typically talks about. And it's really, really important. And you talk about the number of people who, get rich and get depressed. I don't think it's greater than 50%. Like, don't kid yourself. I think it's one of the things that people will tell themselves to not try to get rich. If I get rich, it's just how you get really unhappy because you have different problems. So then solve those problems. You want to solve the same problems the rest of your life? That's what I want to tell people. Whenever someone says something like that to me, like, you want to keep solving the same problems over and over again? Yeah, you're going to get so bored. Right? Most of us were born for some challenge. If you're like, I don't know if I'm going to go take on new challenges, that's fine. But, there's maybe some healing involved there to feel like safe enough to do that, So anyway, it's been interesting day. I got to talk with Russell for like 30 minutes back and forth about the conscious and subconscious mind. We didn't know each other was into like learning all about that. And it's been an interesting, it's been cool. A lot of self-discovery pieces. And I hope it's okay for me to drop more stuff like this on Sales Funnel Radio. I certainly want to tell more about the lessons I've been getting business-wise, and I always will. But obviously, I've been lacing in a little more of this kind of stuff. And I appreciate, too, I've been asking a few questions about this podcast, like, you know, on my Facebook and such, and trying to see what it is you guys would like me more to help with in terms of business, or if this kind of stuff as well. But this is, first and foremost, 80% a business podcast, right? It's a sales funnel, sales and marketing podcast. But like, man, someone on my wall said, you know, I was like, hey, what do you guys want to hear about this? Someone said, hey, like, for those that have been following you, Stephen, for 5-6 years, we're now going through the stuff you're going. So keep talking about this kind of stuff. So I hope it's not too, sorry, I hope it's not too like left field. I know I've been lacing in a lot more of this kind of thing. It's a big deal. So if there's something you want me to, hey, Stephen, talk about that. Tell me about this in your show, or tell me about that in your show, or I want to know about this or that. Let me know, you know, post it somewhere. I do look at my social media profiles. I'm not awesome at DMs. I'm getting better though. We have people who are now looking at my DMs and, you know, answering questions. So you can DM me now. Facebook's the best. Slowly solving that one. But yeah, very soon, I really want to go through and do like a little bit of a case study on each funnel type. Or at least industry. Like, hey, in e-com, this is what I'm seeing works typically the best. You know, SaaS, this is what I'm typically seeing is working the best. But I kind of want to do a little different than I have done stuff like that in the past. And I think I got a cool angle on it. So the next thing I'm doing, which we might already have done by the time this episode goes out, is I'm going to do a live NFT funnel build. And I know some of you guys are like, I still don't know what NFTs are. That's fine. I'll teach you. I'll show you. I don't think they're pixelated weird animals. There's an entirely different application for them. And us in the info product model is, we are loving it. So anyway, I'm going to do a live NFT funnel build soon, probably in about a week. If you want those types of notifications and you're like, hey, I want to know when you're doing a funnel build, or I want to know when you're doing, you know, go subscribe to the podcast newsletter at salesfunnelradio.com. And, you know, I'll start dropping little just a little FYI, we're just doing this, you know? So anyway, you guys are awesome. Go do something fun. Go, you know, do whatever that means to you to recharge. That matters. And I find that I actually have to work less hours in the day and I get drastically more output from those hours than if I work tons of hours and never take the time to recharge. You know, it's like running on fumes 24/7. It's awful. And you can't even really step on the gas. There isn't any, you know, so it's really, really, really tough. Burns out all the wrong resources. So anyway, go to something recharging matters, and see you guys in the next episode. Bye.
You guys know the Get Rich Give Back is the slogan of the capitalist pig. Because money doesn't change us, it also amplifies us, right? It's a magnifier of who you really are at your core, which makes it a really good teacher. So, considering everything going on, there's nothing like passively offending whiny, small-brained socialists, and it's very easy to do. Number one, go get your capitalist pig shirt at capitalismswag.com. Number two, put it on. And then number three, watch the face melt off of anyone with what I call tiny brain syndrome and those who hate healthy economies. If you can't tell, I am vehemently against socialism. And it's because the capitalist pig message is a call to remember to use your own willpower to carve your own path, right? It's the ultimate ownership and self-fulfillment. We have a capitalist pig shirts, hats, sweaters, stickers, more. We got tons of stuff in there now. There's never been a time like this in human history where the sickness of entitlement is spreading. I believe in work. I want the grit, right? There's a serious need for all of us to open our mouths and start talking about this more and say that we choose to have choice. We choose the struggle towards the goal, right? Rather than to be coddled and sedated into socialism. Yes, I'm very passionate about this. If this is resonating with you and you believe the same, go get your capitalism swag at capitalismswag.com. I honestly believe that God would rather me be rich than poor, right? I can do more with more money. Money's not evil. It's quite literally cotton. Capitalism fosters personal power and growth. And so I say yes to the grit of all of it. If this is resonating with you, please stand with us, open your mouth more, and go get your swag at capitalismswag.com.